So as we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday, when was the last time you heard God's voice? Or when was the last time you, or have you ever heard the voice of the Good Shepherd? No. So this is my fifth Mass today, and nobody says anything when I ask that question. And rightfully so. I mean, if I was in your shoes, I'd be like, no, I'm a Good Shepherd, you know, right? But that's what the gospel says. I mean, I think it's one of the shortest gospels on a first Sunday. And Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. My shepherd hear my voice. I know them, and they know me, and they follow me. So how is this possible? Have we ever heard the voice of the Good Shepherd? I say it's something like this. Do we have any moms here? Oh, yeah. Well, it's not Mother's Day yet, okay? When's Mother's Day? May 8th. Okay, so it's coming up, but not yet, okay? But for the moms here, most of the moms have, you know, you've given birth, right? Is it easy? No, it's not easy. You know, that's why I'd rather be a dad. I want to be a mom. But, you know, I want to share with you something. It's very much related to the Good Shepherd and the voice of the Good Shepherd. Because I did an internship at O'Connor Hospital, and I witnessed several, you know, live births. And when a baby's born, what does a baby do? Oh, the baby cry, yes. And why does the baby cry? In fact, if the baby doesn't cry, there's something wrong, right? And from what I heard, I'm not a doctor, but the doctors and nurses say, when the baby's born and the baby doesn't cry, they like spank the baby. And they'd be like, come on, cry, be normal, right? Because the baby's supposed to cry, right? And you can you imagine? You're in darkness for like 9 months, and all of a sudden, you're just like, ah, thrown out into the world. And it's just all these lights and all these people staring at you. And it's kind of weird, right? I would cry too. I did cry. I'm sure all of you cried. But that's kind of the philosophy that many people prescribe to. You know, I teach at St. Francis High School, the seniors. It's a philosophy course this semester. And if I ask a lot of the students, they prescribe to this kind of philosophy, what we call an existential philosophy, where there is no meaning in life. You don't know why you're here, but you're here. You didn't even ask to be born, but you're kind of born. And you're just kind of thrown out into the world, into this absurdity. And and all you can do is cry. And there's no future, there's no meaning. You don't know why you exist, but you exist. And you want to stop existing, but you can't because the world says to continue. That's kind of the philosophy of many teenagers nowadays, an existential philosophy. And what's the point of going to college? What's the point of working? What's the point of making money? There's no point, but you just got to do it. Yet, I would like to prove them wrong by saying, no, there is perfectly good meaning to the point of your existence. Just let's go back. So when a baby's born, everybody say baby cry, right? And the baby's crying, yeah. And then you have the doctors and the nurses, they're trying to clean you up. And then they present the baby to the mother. And when the mother holds the baby, you know, and kind of like rocks the baby, what happens to the baby? Is there anybody here where you're the mom and you held the baby and the baby continued to cry? I have not found one person. Right? Because the baby starts crying and the baby is presented to the mother, and when the mother holds the baby immediately stops crying. Why is that? And why is it that when they're like, oh, now the baby is presented to the father, the baby's like, ah! Why is that? The baby doesn't know the father, right? I mean, later on, you'll probably be daddy's little girl and all this, okay? But for 9 months, right, somebody has been loving you dearly. also known as your mom. And you're in complete, utter darkness. You don't know who's loving you. You don't know what's going on, but you're fed. And you're loved and you're cared for. And you've been hearing this voice. You don't even know who it is for 9 months. And then when you're actually born, you don't know who it is, but you recognize that voice of your mom. And you feel that sense of love. And you feel that sense of security. Therefore, you stop crying. But when your daddy holds you, it's like, oh, you're weird. I don't know who you are. Right? And dare I say, that's pretty much the same thing in our relationship with the Lord, the Good Shepherd. If I asked you, have you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd? You'd be like, no. Just like an infant in his mother's womb. He'd say, have you heard your mother's voice? Like, who is my mom? I don't even know. But in the midst of darkness, you feel God, you feel your mom's love. And that's the same for us. In the midst of our world, in our darkness, in our trials and tribulations, we can sense and feel the voice of God in our lives. We might not know it, but we feel it. And that's the voice of the Good Shepherd. And talking about shepherds and sheep, have you ever seen a sheep before? There's not many sheep, you know, running around here, you know. But sheep, you know, they're pretty stinky. You know, they got a stench. And they're pretty dumb. You know, I mean, like, I don't mean to be discriminating against, you know, but a sheep is an animal after all, you know, and they're pretty dumb. But in the midst of their stinkiness or their dumbness, when they hear the voice of the shepherd, they know what's up. When they hear that the voice of the good shepherd or the cane, they're like, okay, I know. And they listen and follow the shepherd because they know that the shepherd will protect them and guide them from temptation or from wolves, right? And that's what the Good Shepherd does for us. For many of us, we cannot directly hear the Good Shepherd, but like that infant in its mother's womb, you can sense it and you can feel it. And our entire lives, for some of us, it might not make sense, but it makes complete sense as Christians because our entire lives boils down to three major things, three major topics, or three major vocations, three major callings. We call it the vocation to the married life, to the single life, religious life. This is how the Good Shepherd calls us in our lives, and this is how we find meaning. The vocation to the married life, to dedicate yourself, to love your spouse, and out of that love, possibly participate in the gift of creation. You know, nowadays, I don't think it's cool to be married. What do you think? No, in fact, you know, now at the masses, now we start doing like the first Sunday, we invite people, oh, are there anybody celebrating wedding anniversaries, you know, in the month of Mars, month of April? And they're like, oh, you know, like, oh. Right? I mean, it's like, it's not cool to be married anymore. You know, like, why in the world would you commit yourself to another person? You know what I mean? I mean, I guess it's good for tax benefits and tax purposes and all these things. But I mean, other than that, people don't see a good reason. You know, it's better to just kind of just try it out. And if it works, great. If it doesn't work, oh, thank God. Then I save $30,000-$40,000 on the wedding, right? It's not worthwhile. But this is exactly what the Lord calls us to do. For most of us are called to the vocation to the married life. And it's a wonderful vocation. To dedicate yourself to that other person and out of your love for each other, you know, possibly participate in the gift of creation in children. And there's also the vocation to the single life. And this is, nobody talks about this. As parents, have you ever told your son or daughter, hey, I think you have a vocation to the single life. Have you ever said that to your son or daughter? I'll bet you not one. Because nobody talks about this vocation to the single life because they think it's weird. They're like, why would you want to be single for the rest of your life? You know, maybe they think single life, the vocation to the single life is for people who cannot get married. Or for people who, you know, like nobody likes me, therefore I need to be single. No, the vocation to the single life is a wonderful vocation as well that the Lord calls us to do. To dedicate yourself to God and to serve other people, but in a single way. And there's also the vocation to the religious life, you know, as consecrated nuns and as ordained priests, to consecrate yourself to God and to serve God's people. And this is another weird one, too, right? Do you know what's the number one reason why people don't want to be priests or nuns nowadays? People think it's like the world or the society. The number one reason why people don't want to become priests or nuns, you ready? It's the parents. It's the parents. The parents are the number one obstacle for people to become priests and nuns. And it goes a little something like this. The parents will say, oh yeah, you know, I go to church every Sunday, you know, and I believe in Jesus and he's my Lord, he's my Savior. And I pray for my children. I pray for vocations. It's wonderful that we have priests and I hope that there's more priests in the world to serve, you know, the church and all this, just not mine. Don't you dare touch my son. Don't you dare touch my daughter. She's never going to be a nun. He's never going to be a priest. I only got one. Or I only got two. You see the problem? Right? Does that sound like somebody who's open to the Lord's call? or to the voice of the Good Shepherd? Right. Everything that you and I, we do, is a reflection of these three big callings. The vocation to the married life, to the single life, to the religious life. And there are some of us who have yet to make a decision, right? Whether you're young or maybe in your 30s or 40s or 50s, but you're still not sure. We need to slow down and pay attention to the voice of the Good Shepherd and say, Lord, in what way are you calling me towards the married life, to the single life, religious life? For others, you have already made a decision. You have already committed yourselves to the married life, the single life, or to religious life. And if you're already married, you shouldn't be asking, oh, Lord, are you calling me to the single life? Like you already married, right? You should be asking yourself, how can I remain faithful? How can I be a better husband, a better father? How can I be a better wife, a better mother? But yet, there are many cases, right, where on paper, you're married, but practically, you're single. In many cases, I know, you know. You're married, but then, like, you don't even talk to each other. You don't even sleep in the same room. That's what I call the married single life. Right? And then you need some help. You need some counseling. Right? And that's where it's not so easy. Even after you've made the decision. Do you know how many years I've been a priest now? Five. I'm approaching my fifth year, finishing up. June 4th will be my fifth year. And they say that the studies show that you're most likely to leave the priesthood in the first 5 years, right? And if you're able to kind of maintain the first 5 years, then you're more likely to stay. So be nice to me in the next couple of months. because, you know, the life of a priest is, it's not so easy. You know, you think, you just work on Sunday or something like this, you know. but a little more, you know. It's a vocation, and I'm happy to do it. But there are many, many challenges, you know, and many, many issues, many temptations that go along with the vocation to the priesthood. But, you know, thankfully, I've been able to, you know, still be a priest for now, and I hope to continue. And for me, I have to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and say, how can I remain faithful? How can I be a better priest to serve you, to the people at St. Lucie? That is what I need to pay attention. And that's what I ask all of us to do this week, to try to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And if that helps, that imagery of, you know, a baby, an infant in its mother's womb, it's complete darkness. You don't know who's who. You don't even know yourself. You don't know what's going on. But you know that somebody loves you. And you can hear and you can feel the voice of your mom loving you. And that is the same voice of the Good Shepherd. Sometimes we feel lost. Sometimes we don't know what's going on. But the good shepherd, the voice of the good shepherd is there. All we got to do is just kind of slow things down and pay attention. And in our prayer lives, how much time do we spend like asking, petitioning, and praying this or praying that? The Catholics are so wonderful at saying, oh, I did 3 decades of the rosary. How many did you do? You know, like, well, I did Divine Mercy Chaplet. It was wonderful. But how much time do we spend just listening to the voice of God? Right? And I ask us to do that this week. Stop talking and even stop thinking. Stop talking, stop thinking, stop asking. Just listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And if you just close your eyes, right, for 10 minutes, and in that darkness, you can hear silently the voice of the Good Shepherd and ask, well, where is this voice of the Good Shepherd leading me? Is he calling me to the married life, to the single life, to the religious life? How is he calling me to be faithful, remain faithful to the vocation, to the married life, to the single life, to the religious life?